Our scripture reading this morning is in Exodus chapter 35, and in the Bible in your pew, it's page 73. In chapter 35, Moses has asked the Israelites to bring an offering to God for the building of the tabernacle, and we're going to start reading at verse 30. Then Moses told the people of Israel, "The Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And the Lord has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. The Lord has given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers in purple, in blue, purple, and scarlet thread on fine linen cloth and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and as designers. The Lord has gifted Bezalel, Oholiab, and the other skilled craftsmen with wisdom and ability to perform any task involved in building the sanctuary. Let them construct and furnish the tabernacle, just as the Lord has commanded."
Thanks, Donalyn. Great story that we're going to get into today, but let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for this story of Bezalel in the Old Testament and the way you blessed him and filled him with your Spirit. Today, God, I pray that you would help us to understand what that means for us as we talk about ability and being in the Spirit. And we just thank you for the privilege it is to worship you today in spirit and in truth. Amen. Well, I'm told that the human brain weighs about 3 pounds, and it is about the size of a softball. Pretty interesting. So I was thinking, you know, I have kind of a big head, and so I wondered what my brain actually looked like inside. My brain must be a little larger, but here's what I found out through x-ray. That my brain isn't quite as big as I thought. In any case, our brains, no matter what size they are, either large or small, we have the capacity to learn something new every second of every minute of every day of every year until the day we die. And God has created us with an unlimited capacity to learn and be creative. And as the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us this creative ability. Mark Batterson, in a book, A Trip Around the Sun, writes, "Take, for example, Leonardo da Vinci, once observed that the average human looks without seeing, listens without hearing, touches without feeling, eats without tasting, inhales without awareness of odor or fragrance, and talks without thinking." But apparently not da Vinci. He was the quintessential Renaissance man, the master artist called the five senses the ministers of the soul, and perhaps you're familiar with his paintings of The Last Supper and the Mona Lisa. He had an insatiable curiosity with the arts, and we are told that he never went anywhere without his notebook in which he recorded ideas and observations. His journals contain the genesis of some of his most ingenious ideas, a helicopter-like contraption, a diving suit, and even a robotic knight. Pretty amazing. Well, on his own deathbed, he meticulously noted his own symptoms in his journal. And it is said that 7,000 pages of Da Vinci's journals have been preserved. In fact, Leonardo's journals have been so sought after that Bill Gates actually purchased one for $30.8 million for just 18 pages. But most of us, including myself, are not Leonardo da Vinci. However, in our own way, we all have to recognize our own unique ability that God has given each one of us. So the big idea this morning is that the Holy Spirit creativity leads to supernatural ability. Holy Spirit creativity leads to supernatural ability for each one of us. And the first thing we need to know in this story is that the Holy Spirit is creator. In fact, if you have your finger in Genesis or in Exodus chapter 35, just flip over to Genesis chapter 1 for a second. (Clears throat) So we know from Scripture that God is one in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God, that word for God is Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. So we know that God is creator. It says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we know that God is creator. He is also spirit. And in verse 3, and God said. Now just track down with me for a minute. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 24, and God said. So we know that God is this one who speaks, and the world is created. We know that God is creator. We know that God is spirit, and we know that God is the living word. And today we're going to be looking at what happened when this Holy Spirit, the same spirit that was evidenced in creation, came upon a guy by the name of Bezalel in Exodus chapter 35. And the question is, what does this story tell us about the way the Spirit of God equips people in ability? Well, if you're a young man, I remember being in grade 7 and being in a class called SHOP, Industrial Arts. And it was kind of this low academic class where you just built things. And I remember the first project that I had to work on in grade 7 was a sign that had our last name on it. I was really excited. I thought, I can do this thing. And so I get to the shop, and I was given this piece of wood, and I really didn't know what I was doing. So I start cutting this thing out, and I'm cutting letters out. And the first letter, S, for my last name, I started cutting out, and I cut all the way through the S so it looked like a C. And I thought, this is just a mess. So by the end, I patched all this thing together, and I brought it home just so excited. And my dad was like, that's a nice sign, son, trying to encourage me. And then my brother, who is about a year and a half younger than me, he did the same project, and it looked like his was bought in a store. It was all polished and nice, and my dad decided, well, Kelly, I think we're going to hang your brother's sign on the gate. And I could have been really discouraged by that because I knew that I wasn't a master craftsman. But a few years later, my pastor came to me and he said, you know, Kelly, I've seen some leadership gifts in you, and I'd like you to do some devotionals for our youth group. And each one of us, no matter if you're a great woodworker, and I know there's some master woodworkers here among us, there's great mechanics and teachers, etc. And each one of us has a special ability given to us by God, and so we don't have to actually look at someone else and go, oh man, I wish I had their gift. Because God has gifted you uniquely, and especially for you. So the point is that we can be thankful that God is the creator. And in our story from Exodus 35, 31, if you just turn there, so we're just going to go back to verse 31 of chapter 35. God has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge of all kinds of crafts. Now think about that for a minute. God filled Bezalel with the same spirit that we read about in Genesis 1. Now, that should blow your mind, actually, because it blows mine when I try to think that the Spirit of God, who created the universe and all that is in it, is actually part of this person who is now filled with creative ability in all kinds of gifts. This eternal life-giving Spirit of God, who knows all things and from whom all things comes, entered Bezalel. He was filled with the Spirit. And this is the same Spirit who Jesus later sent to be with us forever as his followers. That if you have a personal relationship with Christ today, that same life-giving, eternal Holy Spirit is in you. Now, if you're a Christian here today, that should amaze you just as much, because that same Spirit that was in Bezalel was the same Spirit that is now in you and I. Jesus lives inside each one of us who profess his name. And the question is, do you feel his presence today? The Holy Spirit is not only creator, the Holy Spirit is our coach. Many of us have played sports, and you know that in order to, and I know there's lots of coaches here, and so if you want to be a good coach, one of the roles that you have is to make sure that as you're watching the players that play in your team, you need to make sure that they are positioned well enough so that they play to their top of their game Well, the Holy Spirit is our coach. In fact, there's no better coach than the Holy Spirit. And in Exodus 35:30, so we're just going to back up one verse. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah." Now, how do you know that? That was my question. I'm like, how do you know this? Is Moses just kind of picking the best player on the team? Well, if you go back just a couple of chapters to chapter 31 of Exodus, it actually is the Lord who chose Bezalel. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts.'" So it's actually the Lord that chose Bezalel, and Moses was just being obedient and telling the people, this is what God says. And isn't that awesome to know that the Lord chooses you today? He actually chooses you to be in this game of life, to fill you with his presence, that you might be creative in the ability that God has given you. Not only does God know your name, but he knows your family line, and he knows that all that comes with that, and he still invites you to join him in his work. He is a God of purpose, and he chooses you to be in his family. Even more, he chooses the very best position for you. He does that in the church. He equips you with where he thinks you work best. So if you are an usher here this morning, you need to be an usher with all that God has given you. If you're going to be a teacher, you need to be a teacher with all that God has given you. If you're going to cut the grass, cut it with all your very best, because that is a place that God has chosen you to be in. So don't grumble. I know it's easy sometimes to grumble like, oh man, my job's just to pull the weeds out back. Well, that's what God has for you. So be encouraged. And part of the job as pastors, so for Chris and Carrie, as they come to you and say, hey, have you ever thought about doing this? We should be responsive with open hearts to say, yeah, you know, let me try that, because that's maybe where God has gifted us. So part of the job of pastor is to equip you to your very, very best work. In John 15:6, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." So Holy Spirit coach wants you on his team, and he places you in the very best position that you can be in so that you can serve the church with all you've got. Well, what do we know about Bezalel? His name means in the shadow of God, kind of a cool name for a guy who's a master artist. He is the son of Uri, the grandson of Hur. We're told that his grandpa, so Hur, was the companion of Moses. In fact, it was Hur and Aaron who held up Moses' arms when they were battling the Amalekites at Rephidim. If you want to read that story, you can turn to Exodus chapter 17 later on and read it this week. Well, why did the Spirit choose Bezalel? Well, it seems that he chose him because Bezalel already had some kind of skill. It actually tells us that he has some kind of artistic skill or ability. Warner Wallace says, "Everyone has some sort of innate ability. You may not think that you are particularly talented, but if you take a closer look at yourself, you'll discover there is some ability you possess in abundance more than others." So the question is, have you thought about that lately? Have you thought about what skill and ability that God has actually given you? Maybe you're a better athlete than a musician, or maybe you're a better artist than a mathematician. You know where you're talented and where you're not, and oftentimes you find that out by your family of origin or by people around you who actually see something in you and can say, oh, do you know what? James is really good at this. Or do you know you're really good at this natural ability? Now, I made a chart up to help us distinguish ability from spiritual gift, and I just had a couple of categories there. So authorship, ability and spiritual gifts are both from God. So we can't confuse that. But ability is developed by kind of our family of origin and by training, whereas spiritual gifts come only from the Holy Spirit, and they're to be used within the church family to build it up and equip us. Ephesians tells us that. The state of being for ability is those who know or do not know Christ, But spiritual gifts are only to those who know Christ. In fact, spiritual gifts are only given to people who have a personal relationship with Christ. So if you're sitting here today and you go, I don't know what my spiritual gift is, you should first ask, do I have a relationship with Jesus? Your competence level in your ability is kind of expected. You know what your ability is in certain levels. But with spiritual gifts, you can be often surprised. Wow, I didn't know I had this gift of mercy or this gift of teaching or etc. And abilities can be used selfishly. We all know this. But with spiritual gifts, they are used to serve God and others. So the Holy Spirit is creator. He is also coach. The Holy Spirit is also commissioner. And he has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God. And if you turn in verse 31, it says, he filled him with skills, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze. And if you read on, you can see all of the things that he is inspired with. So we have a certain level of skill. Well, skill is the ability to do something, to have a certain level of expertise in that area of influence. Ability has to do with more intuition and a skill set, and knowledge of all kinds of crafts, a familiarity with something or someone, which can include facts, information, description, and skills. So Bezalel was an amazing person because he did all kinds of stuff. Now, usually, I think for us, we kind of focus on one particular area, where whether it's woodworking or whether it's sewing or whatever it is, but he was given all kinds of gifts. He was kind of this jack of all trades. So he commissions us in character. We know that when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, the gifts of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Now, the text doesn't tell us this, but I'm quite certain that Bezalel experienced all those things in his character because he was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit commissions us with competence. We have purpose in our life. Each one of us is gifted. If you look at the worship team up here, and how they sing and play instruments, they're all gifted in a very particular way. But also what was amazing is that Bezalel and Oliab were commissioned as catalysts. And if you read through this, you might actually, if you don't read through this close enough, you might actually miss it. Verse 34, he has given both him and Oliab of the tribe of Dan the ability to teach others. So not only did they have character and competence, God actually equipped them to teach others. And the question is today, who are you teaching? Because as God has gifted us with special abilities and gifts, he actually encourages us to actually pass the torch down, to actually hand off the baton to someone under us. And so the question I want us to think about today is, who's your apprentice today? In all the gift sets and skills that you have, who is your apprentice that you are building into? Because we see that with Bezalel. God actually told him, you are going to teach people. So character, competence, and being catalysts. Holy Spirit creativity leads to supernatural ability. So how do we respond to this as people of God? Well, the first thing we need to do is to obey. If the Holy Spirit asks you to do something, we need to have open hands and say, Lord, I am willing to do this for you. Chapter 36, verse 1 says, so Bezalel and Oliab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill and ability to know how to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord commanded. So part of their responsibility was to simply obey. Say, God, thank you for the gifts that you've given me. My role is to obey. Secondly, we need obedience, but we also need willingness. Chapter 36, verse 2, then Lord summoned Bezalel and Oliab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come do the work. Did you catch that? Not only were they skilled with ability, but they were willing to come and do that work. So we need to obey and we need to be willing to actually do it, to step up and say, God, you know, this is really hard for me, but I'm going to step out in faith and be willing to do this. So today, for those of you who maybe don't serve in the church currently, can I encourage you and challenge you to use your gifts and say, God, I am willing to do this for you. I know you've gifted me and I want to step out. not only in obedience, but willingness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7, Paul writes, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. That's the purpose, right? Build the church and help one another. So would you just turn to your neighbor right now and say, would you help me? Turn to your neighbor right now and say, would you help me? And hopefully they're going to say yes, right? We need obedience and we need willingness and we need sacrifice. And this is really cool. Because of what happened, because God empowered Bezalel and Oliab and the rest of the people with skill to build into the tabernacle, there was an automatic response that was just kind of generated amongst the people. And I think it was just God's spirit working. Because of what God was doing among the people, people were filled with generosity. And verse 36, 3b says, they received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. Now listen to this. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. It was kind of like they said, hey, God, we want to thank you for all this, so we just want to say 1,000 thank yous back to you by just bringing sacrifice to you. And because of Jesus' crucifixion, death, and resurrection, Jesus has sent the Spirit to be with us and to all who believe in Christ. And Paul writes to 1 Corinthians, he says, chapter 12, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So as you serve, you are actually saying, thank you, God, for all of this. So as we close, I want to remind us that life without the Spirit is a life that is pointless and meaningless. Without the power and the gifts of the Spirit, you will never experience all that God intended to you, for you. Secondly, the Spirit manifests himself in many ways, not just one way, not just with artistic ability. That is why I find Bezalel so important, since the Bible says that he is in the Spirit, yet to our surprise, the Spirit gift he possesses is skill in making the temple. But we know from 1 Corinthians that God has given us all kinds of skills and abilities. Jesus said, this is from Luke chapter 13 in the Message, don't bargain with God, be direct, ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? Or if your little girl asks for an egg, do you give her a scorpion? As bad as you are, don't you think of such a thing? You're at least decent to your own children. Don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? So as we close, as the worship team comes, why don't we open our hands and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to give me today?
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen.
Thank you for how you've gifted each one of us, God. And if there's people here today, God, that just felt your urging, God, felt your Holy Spirit, let them know that maybe there's an area that they need to get involved, God. I pray that they would act on that. God, keep nudging and keep pushing us to the things that you want us to do. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit and the gift that that is. God, that we can just experience your presence every moment of every day. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Have a great week.